what went into the decision to delay the primary election. I know that this was not a decision that you or the governor took lightly.
Well, to put this into perspective, on Monday, March 9th, I was on KET for an hour-long program discussing election policy. We talked about voter ID and cleaning up the rolls and so forth. I didn't get a single question about coronavirus. And just 7 days later, on March 16th, I was standing next to the governor jointly announcing that we had delayed the primary by 5 weeks. That's how quickly this coronavirus situation developed in terms of public perception and understanding. In that span of that week, I spent pretty much all day, every day on the phone with county clerks around the state, with members of the State Board of Elections and staff over there. And what I got back was fairly unanimous. It was, we need to delay this with two benefits. One is hopefully this thing goes away. That didn't happen, obviously, we know that now. But one hope was that it would go away, and the other hope was, well, even if it doesn't go away, it gives us time to plan for the contingencies that we can expect from a different situation. And so I'm glad that we did that. I think it was the right decision. That gave us more time to get PPE for our poll workers, more time to assess the changes we had to make to the system for the June primary.
What could happen between now and then to necessitate further changes, if anything?
Well, we don't have the authority by law to suspend the election any further than 5 weeks. The reason that we were able to delay 5 weeks is there actually is a statute in Kentucky that allows the Secretary of State and the chief elections official, the Secretary of State and the governor to jointly decide to delay an election, but it's only for up to 5 weeks. The only way for us to delay it further would be to go get the legislature back in the session. The governor called them into special session and asked them to pass a new law for a further delay. We just don't think that's the right answer. We think that the best we can do is go ahead and address it, plan for it. We've made various accommodations to make voting both easier and safer under the circumstances, but we don't think that delaying it further is the solution.
Could you describe the experience that voters will have when they go to vote in the primary election? What will the social distancing look like in reality?
Well, let me first explain what we did at the 50,000-foot level. So we already, of course, have in-person voting in our state constitution. To me, it was critical that we preserve that. I wasn't comfortable with suspending or defying the constitution. I don't have that power. None of us does, and none of us should. So we are going to have in-person voting on election day, just like we always have. But we made some significant changes to the process by bipartisan agreement between Governor Beshear and me. So first, we expanded absentee voting. Of course, in-person voting is in our Constitution, but so is absentee voting. It's in the Constitution, too. Our law provides for people to be able to vote absentee in case of illness or medical emergency. Obviously, that's what we have right now. And so we're respecting the law, but we're making the process easier by making it so that voters, obviously, they can call their county clerk, email, fax their county clerk to get an absentee ballot. But we're creating an online portal through the State Board of Elections so that people can go directly online, punch in verifying information. We make people verify their identity to get a ballot. We don't just mail them out to the voter file. But number one, we made absentee voting easier. We're hoping that probably 80, even 90% of voters vote absentee so we can take the strain off our poll workers and our polling sites. So first, we expanded absentee voting. Absentee voting can be either mailing your ballot back or it can be hand-delivering your ballot in person to your clerk's office. A lot of voters are not comfortable with the mail system. They don't trust it. They want to personally drop their ballot off, and we respect that. So there's four ways to vote. One is we expanded absentee voting, so you can more easily vote by mail or more easily drop off your ballot in person already marked. The second thing is we expanded early voting. Some counties have early voting, some don't. We have a universal standard now for this election of 15 days. Monday, June 8th, every county in the state, if they haven't already started early voting, will be compelled to start that. The idea is we want to encourage people who intend to vote in person. We encourage them to vote absentee if they can, but if they insist on or need to vote in person, then they can do so for a span of 2 weeks. That helps us relieve, again, the burden on our polling sites and poll workers. And then finally, of course, people can vote in person on election day. We are encouraging people, if they can, to make an appointment with their county clerk if they're going to vote in person. Back to your question about what Election Day looks like, we don't have all the answers here in Frankfort. What we've done is we've instructed the county clerks, all 120 of them, to come back to the State Board of Elections with a written plan that explains specifically how many polling sites they're going to have, how many poll workers they're going to have, and so forth. We don't think one size fits all. You might go to Owsley County, and they might have just one polling location because they're small. They've only got a few precincts. It makes sense for them probably to have just one location. And there probably aren't that many locations in Owsley County that can handle social distancing, that they're big enough. So Jefferson County, of course, I think Jefferson County with 700,000 people needs to have more than one polling location. So there's not a one size fits all. We're letting the counties design this themselves. But what we're trying to do is eliminate direct contact between poll workers and voters and between voters and other voters. We want to phase out the touch screen machines. I was actually in favor of doing that anyway. I testified during the legislative session in favor of moving to 100% paper ballots. And one of the upsides of this reform is it actually puts us on track to do that. We drew down federal funds to buy new machines, scanners, and paper ballots so that we can transition away from electronic machines that voters have concerns about being secure, being hackable, move away from electronic machines toward paper. So we're trying to make a silver lining out of all of this. I think transitioning very quickly to paper ballots will give voters a sense of security in this system, the ability to have a recount or a recanvass, to have a paper trail on the ballots cast, and know that there's been no hacking. So those are improvements that we'll get out of this, fortunately.
Did you receive any pushback at all when the decision was made to delay the election? Or, I mean, it was a bipartisan decision. Did that help perhaps in greasing the wheels?
You know, in the entire state, I only had two people call and said they disagreed with it. One was a county clerk and the other was a candidate for public office who wanted to go ahead and have the election be over with in May instead of June. But otherwise, really, it was almost unanimous. And look, I certainly sympathize with the candidates who are out there who now have another month tacked on for them to have to campaign for their primary. It's very hard to campaign right now under the circumstances. And my heart goes out to all those people. I had a very difficult campaign myself that lasted 21 months and it was tough. And I can't imagine trying to run for office in this environment. So my heart goes out to all the candidates.
Do you discuss issues like this with other secretaries of state, or are the situations so different state by state that you kind of just have to make your own decision internally?
No, I've actually paid quite a bit of attention to what's going on in other states. I've got great relationships with my colleagues in both parties who are their chief election officials. I actually met most of them in Washington a few months ago during a conference back when we had in-person conferences. They've actually been really great. I bounce ideas off of them and so forth. And I watch what they're doing in their states. And what we're doing here in Kentucky is actually quite similar to what other states have done successfully to try to both ensure that Mother Nature doesn't disenfranchise anybody, but also keep people safe.
Was there anything else you'd like to say about the primary election or anything else today?
Yes, I want to encourage people to do two things. Number one, if you haven't registered to vote yet, the deadline to register to vote for the June 23rd primary is May 26th. That's less than 2 weeks away. So go to govoteky.com. That's our website. You can register to vote there, govoteky.com. I also want to say that if your information, your voter information is not up to date, if you've moved, if you've changed your name, please go to govoteky.com. And here's why that's important. Every registered voter in our state is going to get a postcard in the next couple of weeks with instructions on how to vote absentee, how to vote in person. It's going to have a web link there. It's going to have where you can apply for an absentee ballot. It's going to have the phone number of your county clerk. You can call your clerk. Every voter needs to get that to have this information and make sure that they get to vote. If you've moved, if you changed your name, your card's going to bounce back and come back to us in Frankfort. It won't do you any good, and it complicates your ability to vote potentially. So it's very important. If your information is not up to date, please go to govoteky.com and change it as soon as possible.